Lawrence.
Paul Goody.
All right, so we maybe have solved lag a little bit. I'm in this weird situation with the camera. I'm using my iPad. I'm in this weird situation with the camera where I can't scoot back to fit my head in the window without then losing my chin to the... Oh, here we go. I'll just do it from here.
Oh, that's great. No, that's perfect.
You know, we'd love to be able to... Oh, I can... Ben.
That looks better.
I can move the iPad back a little bit. That's something that actually works. And then I scoot in a little bit more. Oh, and then I move the iPad back a little bit more.
Oh, my God.
And then I scoot in a little bit more. And then
Figuring it out.
Hey. All right. So, Ben, how's it going?
Paul, I'm doing all right. How are you? I'm wearing a t-shirt that says Best Grandpa Ever.
Oh, that's great. Betty has a number one dad t-shirt.
Nice.
That is pretty awesome. I was going to buy it for myself, and then I was like, oh, it'd be better if she ironically wears it. And she was down for it, so works out. All right.
Saturday. It's 2 days after
Saturday.
We do this.
Saturday. It's a Saturday. Remember that?
It's a Saturday.
Any recollection? Have you heard that?
I don't recall.
De
I don't
La
know
Soul,
what, you, to what you were referring.
De La Soul. They were, you know, probably one of my favorite bands when I was in college.
Gotta admit, I never really got into them.
They're good. They are, you know, hip hop early.
I'm very walled garden when it comes to the music I listen to. Like, I have the music that I like and I listen to basically constantly. It's very rare that I find a new band that I like. But I recently...
And I would do the same thing. It just happens that De La Soul was one of those bands.
Was part of those bands, yeah. But I recently was exposed to Portugal the Man. And I've really come to like Portugal the Band. Did you know that the lead singer for Portugal the Man is a man? I did not know that.
Now, is the lead singer of Portugal the Man? Is that the lead singer of Portugal the Man, the band?
Yes.
Is that the country of Portugal? No.
I don't know. Why
I mean, shouldn't
that.
They be called Portugal the Band? Ben, this is my question. Are we... Come on. What... The kids today and their names, their bands, their crazy names.
I don't know if you can see much... Paul, you can see behind me, but the stream can't, so I'll show you around. The theater has been upended because they've been filming a movie here, which is why we're doing this on Saturday, not on our normal Thursday. Because
did they show up on Friday and Thursday?
I don't know. I actually left before they were scheduled to arrive.
Okay.
But they were here on Thursday, and if we were here on Thursday, there would have been people behind me watching a scene get filmed. But so if you look at
and probably filming
theater,
a scene while you're doing this would have been rude.
Yes, it would have been
for you.
I would have been upset on how rude they were.
Oh,
me.
Ben, you would have been a rude boy. Ska, it's coming back in a big way from... It's not. It could be. Betty has asked what the difference between reggae and ska is. As you know, every child's life, you have to have the talk with
you
them
do have
about
to have
how
that talk, don't you?
Ska no. is in a lot of ways, I not entirely, but in a lot of ways, reggae just sped up to a higher BPM. Sorry for any reggae heads out there or ska heads, that if I got that wrong. Hey, by the way, found out my friend Scott Zelnowski watches this sometimes, and he weighed in. He is on the side of internet time. His wife, however, doesn't like it.
Right. Internet he time. Thinks
no time zones is cool. I also like it, but, you know. And I think part of it is because I used to work nights.
Well, also, I mean, China famously has no time zones. China
What?
Yeah. There's only one time zone in China. And so you may be aware that geographically, China covers a rather large area of land. And
yes.
So if you are, say, in Western China and you want to do business with Shanghai, which is in Eastern China, you got to get up real early in the morning.
You got to get up real early in the morning to do business with Shanghai, as they famously say.
It's an old Chinese idiom.
Exactly. Yes. 11 time zones in the Soviet Union at one point when it was the Soviet Union.
Right.
11.
I did not know that.
I knew that from a Negative Land song that has someone saying over and over again, do you know how many time zones are in the Soviet Union?
They do like their loops, that Negative Land.
Yeah. Yellow, Black, and Rectangular is one of my favorite songs, but it drives anyone who listens to it insane.
Paul, you probably remember, we went to go see Negative Land at the Little Theater. They were in town once.
And in fact, it turned out that it was a guy from Negative Land
giving
talking
a talk.
rather than playing music, which we still enjoyed. There are times, Ben, when you or I are tricked or bamboozled into engaging with culture that we weren't expecting. I think of when we saw Takashi Miike's film,
right,
and it turned out to be great.
Happiness of the Katakuris. We've talked about that. We've talked about how we've come to see that film before. But that's a fun story. We were both in our early mid-20s, something like that.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Both single, we're wandering around Pacific Place. It's during SIFF.
And we went to see a film that was sold out.
We went to go see a film that was sold out. We saw a line for a different film that we hadn't heard of. And standing at the very end of this line was a very fetching young woman. So we both let's go stand in that line.
Yes, it was very much
a conversation.
Hey, what if we went to that line? Oh yes, I believe so. By the way, this is something that I forgot about, Ben. I think it's funny. All right, there's a dog and his friend the chicken in a rowboat. And they're, you know, in the middle of the ocean. Dog looks at the chicken and he's starving. Chicken's like, hey, buddy, what's going on? You know this old trope. He looks at the chicken and the chicken is prepared. And he's looking at and salivating. I had this idea that the chicken then goes and says, oh, look, it turns out we have a whole bag of dog food. And the dog looks at the bag of dog food and it becomes a chicken that's prepared. And then the dog keeps seeing these things and they're all prepared chickens. And he's like, I think I've got psychological problems. And the doctor says, do I look like a prepared chicken to you? Doc, I got to say, I ate like an hour ago and you're still, I think it'd be fine. So, Ben, the last time that you and I what happened?
What happened?
You said yes, Paul, twice. Were you agreeing with me or was this a world weary? Yeah, I know. Yes, Paul. AI art generation, my trials and tribulations. And I want to say that I have gone full circle from my last, from where I was before. Where I was before is I was like, I can't believe they want you to buy a subscription to this stuff. You know, you can't just own it and do stuff with it. That's number one. And then number two, I can't believe that they censor some words. This is crazy. I am now fully on the other side. There needs to be a barrier for entry. Based on the forums and the people who are complaining. They're like, I there should be no barriers between me and my art. And how dare you ban the word minstrel. I don't want to have, I don't want to show people in blackface, but I do want to start a conversation about it. And it's like, hey, guess what? Guess what? Okay, and oh, and somebody says, if somebody makes a pencil, people are going to draw dicks with it. It's just the way it is. Yes, but, and this is the thing, the service that is providing their servers for you to run this highly sophisticated art program on to make literally anything you can think of is not the same as someone who's selling a pencil. To learn how to draw crazy, you know, insane H.P. Lovecraft pornography stuff with a pencil requires a lot of skill and dedication and things like that. Not just typing in, you know, some phrases that will get you that result. And so I am now fully on board with keep these people away from the photorealistic. So what happened was I joined this group. And you've seen now, we might at least have it be the thumbnail for this episode, possibly for the entire podcast. Hey, I wanted to wait until we were actually on air to throw that out there, but I love it so much. It's a picture that I can actually
show it on the stream.
Yeah,
you won't be able to see because you can see what's on the stream. So right now, people who are watching the stream see the picture that you made.
I said to Ben, tell me, if we were going to be Muppets anywhere, where would you like to be? And he said New Zealand. And so I spent a very long time with this program. The best way that someone explained it, I like it. It's like you're an art director and you're asking artists to draw stuff for you. So you're not the artist, you know, it's doing the work, but you're sending people away. Hey, you're giving notes, things like that. Eventually there's an image that you like. And so in this case, it's Ben and I, we're Muppets, we're in New Zealand, and we look horrible. And that's one thing I love.
Haggard and weathered.
We're wearing
and
what look like Civil War uniforms.
Right.
You know, and all this is, of course, you know, the AI takes the words that you have and like presupposes stuff. I've gotten so much better with it since I made that image, by the way, because you can add weights.
This was just
words.
Like yesterday at night.
Yeah, I know, right? It's crazy. But you can add weights to the words so that it generates more of one thing. So, for instance, I wanted a picture of someone eating a trumpet, which you can do. The basic thing is, like, if you give person a higher weight, Then it's a person. Oh, I'll give you a better example. This is better. You have a red ball made of wood. That's the prompt. A red ball made of wood. If after a red ball you have a weight of 5, and made of wood it's a 4, you will have a red ball that is you know, wooden, like you might find in a child's toy box or whatever. If you have a red ball made of wood, red ball is 1. And made of wood is 5, you will have a wooden, like with like much more grain and everything like that, that is tinted red. So you can actually adjust like what's more important to you when you're making these images.
And you spent how much time yesterday doing this?
Oh, Ben, every single minute that I'm holding my cell phone, I'm making new images of different things. It's a lot of fun. I need to have a little bit of discipline for like playing music and stuff. I need to do that. But yeah, I don't play video games anymore. That's all Jennifer's thing. I just do this art thing. And it's a lot of, I do it for my Dungeons and Dragons stuff. You know how we had the background images that I used in a very generic version of this? Now those things are already old. And how long ago was that?
You made the background images probably in maybe like March.
Yeah, already obsolete. And here's what happened on this server that it runs off of a Discord server. It's called Midjourney. Runs off of a Discord server that you have to join. And they rolled out a beta that got taken down within 24 hours because people were able to bypass the filtering and create realistic, I guess you could call it deepfakes. You know, usually we think of deepfakes as being videos. Realistic deepfakes of celebrities, you know, all sorts of just unimaginable, amazing stuff. But some of it was very bad, so they took it down because people won't let us have nice things.
Artistically or ethically?
Ethically.
Yeah.
Yeah, artistically, wonderful. Yeah, but if it's, you know, Elon Musk and Donald Trump in a human centipede and it's expertly rendered, it's still not good. No one wants to see it. And I don't know that that's one of the ones they did, but that's the example
that's just
that just sprung to mind.
Top of your head. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And it's a dual centipede, I guess. It's more of an Ouroboros, I guess. Is that
exactly,
how you say it?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No thanks. But yeah, there are people who want to do it, and they say, you know, you can't impugn my artistic ability, and this is why I was like, I want to. An arm coming out of a bucket that's covered in blood. Why can't I do it? It's because of this. Because if I have an arm coming out of a bucket that's covered in blood, someone can say something coming out of a mouth covered in blood or any other part of a person's body. You know what I mean? So, am I of the opinion that everyone should be able to do everything all the time? Sure, why not? But make it harder for them to do it.
Almost so, like they have to accomplish certain challenges and reach certain points to gain skill.
Exactly.
Call them save points, if you will. And
Yeah. See, this is the thing, Ben. What's next? Of course, full motion video and audio, right? I think within 5 years, and that might even be pushing it.
Five years is a long time.
Yeah, I know, right? When I say pushing it, I mean. I might be grossly overestimating, but you know, I want Jennifer Lawrence in a David Lynch film about My Little Pony. Go, and then it makes it. And that's the thing, is that the highest currency is going to be time. You can make anything you want, but you're going to watch like the first 2 minutes of it and go, "Okay, I get it." Curation, Ben. That's where the future lies.
I don't know. Every once in a while, there's an article that comes out that says automation is going to eventually take over every single occupation and even creatives. And sometimes I'm like, it's not going to do my job because it can't possibly do my job. But sometimes when I'm working on something I don't like, I wish it could do my job. I'd love to just hand over a project I'm doing to a computer. Just say, do it. Let me know when you're done.
There are do we have anyone watching right now?
Nope.
Okay, so Steven would probably know more about this, so I didn't want to offend him with my inability to actually articulate this. But they are making AIs that build computer programs. You say, I want a program that does this, and it will generate the code. So coders are going to be obsolete. Not totally. You're going to have to people go there and fix it, figure out what the computer did wrong, all that kind of stuff. But the people who sit and pound on keyboards all day writing stuff to make things work. Yeah. Same thing, Ben.
You'll have to have QA.
With you, right? You're going to probably, you know, what will happen is you will generate a thing. Like, imagine how long it took to render stuff at one point in time, right? A lot of your job was just waiting for stuff to render.
Sleeping in the office, waiting for a job to finish.
In the same way, you'll be in the office waiting for the computer to give you a version of it. And then you're going to have to watch it. Right?
Yeah.
A lot of your video, what you will start doing more and more of is QA. Like, you'll watch it. Because the computer's going to do something weird at some point in time.
Like, it has to learn, just like everybody.
Yeah, exactly. But... you know, animation, I think, is going to be a big deal pretty soon. And the reason I say that is because, like, right now already, Midjourney won't allow you to... So, originally, the guy eating the... This is what I wasn't... the guy eating the trumpet was going to be Neil deGrasse Tyson. Because that's what I always try first with the AI. Neil deGrasse Tyson eating a trumpet. It's a pretty simple, like I say it, you can see it in your mind, right?
Sure.
Maybe he's got a napkin around, he's got a big knife and fork and he's cutting into it, or maybe he's just grabbing it and he, but still,
it's, under a
it's something, right, something that we can conceive of. The thing that I noticed, if I took the name Neil deGrasse Tyson out, because it wasn't giving me that, it was giving me all these bizarre clay features, which were really interesting, but here, let me see if I, in fact, can show you. This may or may not work, Ben. Let's find out together on this little thing we call the Goody Lawrence Podcast. An audio medium for many people. Okay, so let's see here. This is Neil deGrasse Tyson eating a trumpet. That is my prompt. These are the images.
Okay, that doesn't look like anything.
Doesn't look like Neil deGrasse Tyson eating a trumpet at all, does it? Maybe that one does a little bit, but not really, right? And that one, nope. So I realized what it was, though, Ben. It's because I used the word Neil deGrasse Tyson, and Neil deGrasse Tyson is a celebrity, and they are doing their best to make it so that you won't get realistic images of celebrities, even in clay form. So I took out Neil deGrasse Tyson eating a trumpet and just put a man eating a trumpet, and there you go. No problems whatsoever. And you even got this guy here. He's eating a medieval-type trumpet. And so anyway, you get the idea. So animation is going to be a big deal. Because as we get more and more human-like with the images that we generate and eventually the video, you're going to run into copyright problems. You know, Ben, Lawrence, surfing with a T-Rex... someone says, I want to see an hour-long video loop of that. They could maybe make it, but you, Ben Lawrence, as a working actor, are like, hey, don't do that.
Yeah.
That's my image. That's my, you know, bread.
That's my property.
If you want me surfing for an hour next to a T-Rex, pay me to do it. And I'll show up at your studio, and I'll be there for that time. But don't make a fake to do that.
The licensing lawyers are going to have a field day. I think in terms of this, if they want to say Ben Lawrence surfing with a T-Rex, I'll be like, fine. I understand I can't surf with a T-Rex, so pay me as if I was surfing with the T-Rex, as if I was there. Give me my fee, and you can use that.
So all that they have to do instead, though, Ben, is they get a person that looks like you and me, merge them together, you know, to this other guy, Paul Lawrence, surfing with the T-Rex, and then, you know, it doesn't work. But there's a guy, because of how many people there are in the world, there's a guy who looks exactly like the guy that they had surfing with the T-Rex, and he goes, hey, that's me. You can't do that. So eventually what's going to happen? Animation. As long as something is abstracted from reality enough that it doesn't, that people will know that that's not happening in reality, it's going to be legal. I think that's where Midjourney is already at.
I don't know. I can already see, like, I think a lot of this is just going to get hung up in litigation, because even if you have animation, even if you have something that is, let's say it bears a striking resemblance, but it isn't supposed to be Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson's lawyers are going to be like, that's my client. And you have to shut this down. You have to, you know, not show this, or you pay us a lot of money.
Right. But what happens if it's just, you know, like it's TikTok, right? It's you, Ben Lawrence, making it. You're not getting paid for it. You just wanted to make Mel Gibson dressed like a kitty cat. You know, is that still a problem, or does it fall under parody?
Who knows? That's
but we
not
do
my
know,
place to figure it out. But people are going to try to figure this out.
Yep. There's already a precedent, which is great, kind of great, in Hollywood about using someone's image without their participation.
You're talking about the Crispin Glover thing?
Crispin Glover. Yep. Who I spoke to at one point in time. I have to say. Did I tell you already about the faux pas that I made when I was interviewing him? There were several.
I think you did, but remind
younger,
our listeners.
Younger, less experienced. I said, you know, I was really surprised when you called me. He goes, well, you called me. I called you back. I was like, right. Because it, the way that I had said it, it made it seem like he was desperate and was like, hey, I'm going to be coming into your place. Will you... Do you want to interview me? He's a bigger guy than you might think, by the way.
Yeah. He kicks David Letterman.
Yeah. Yeah. I can kick. But I like Chris McClure. He's an interesting fellow. So yes, Ben. I have to say Midjourney is really interesting. You will hear about it for sure.
I've heard so much. I've never even heard about it before today, but I already know a lot about it.
And it's because theater companies are going to use it for making art instead of paying someone to make a poster. In fact, no one's going to have to take pictures of a play anymore. They're just going to describe the play, and then this is what it would most likely look like.
Pick the one that's closest.
Pick the one that's closest to it. In fact, you know, eventually, who knows? I think that's... how do I say it? Right now, with movies and TV, you and I, right? We play the role of the audience, right? We're not in movies and TV. We sit down and we watch the movies and the TV. Sometimes the fun is making a show, though. Not just watching the show, but making the show. And that is what this is going to allow people to finally do. And what we're going to find out, Ben, I think I'm not wrong in saying this, how bad people are at making movies and TV and things like that. The amount of horrible, horrible things... Imagine every producer that you've ever worked with who is bad. I know there are good producers that you've worked with, but imagine the producers that make a commercial that you go into and you're like, this is the dumbest commercial, but I guess I'll do it, right?
Because I'm getting paid.
It's going to be like that, except, you know, everyone's going to think, well, all I need to do is run this through Midjourney 2.0 or whatever, and it'll be fine. All the commercials are going to be bad. They're not going to pay actors anymore because they won't have to. All that. And what's going to happen, Ben? This is a dream that I have. I don't know if it's true or not, but people are going to go back to theater performers and say, everything is horrible out here. None of this stuff is good. Please, Goody Learns, come back. I want someone to actually hit someone with plastic baseball bat.
Giant bat. You know, every time there's a new sort of medium, people kind of decree that the previous medium is dead.
Video killed the radio star.
Of course. And, you know, they thought television was going to kill the movies and the internet was going to kill television. I think what you'll find is we're just going to get more segmented means of media. There are still going to be movie studios creating movies starring real live actors. Mm-hmm. It may have less of an impact culturally than they do now. And there's still going to be TV shows, but you're also going to get, you know, maybe we're going to have a whole channel dedicated to Midjourney creations. And people know that's what that is.
You are bringing up such a good point, Ben. I endorse what you just said 100% because here's the thing, right? Why is Spider-Man getting kicked in the nuts something that people, you know, would find interesting to watch? It's because he's Spider-Man. And why does Spider-Man matter? Because he's in all these other things. Without celebrities... Something happening to a celebrity isn't going to be interesting, right? There is a cultural thing about a famous person that lends something happening to them being more interesting. Random guy hit in the face with pie. George W. Bush hit in the face with pie.
Right.
The second one has much more... So they're going to need to keep on doing TV and movies and just to generate people that we care about. That's the real thing. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, you bring up a really good point.
I kind of like where this is going. Not in terms of like, I don't think I'm going to be put out of a job by automation before I'm done working anyway. You know what I'm saying? And who knows if I'm going to be doing my current job for, you know, for the rest of my life. Who knows? But I like the trend where this is going. I like different forms of media being created in new and exciting ways. What can scares me is the danger this can cause when you get, you know, it just goes back to the deepfake argument. You get Vladimir Putin on TV saying, I'm going to release my nuclear weapons in 10 minutes, you know, say goodbye to America. The panic that something like that can cause if done well and, you know, if people believe it.
Well, and not even done well. I mean, okay, so Betty, a friend of the podcast, has been on it before. my daughter said at one point in time, this already happened with video editing and Photoshop and things like that. Like we as people at the time, she was like saying, she didn't say we as people, she said you guys, you know, adults, us, right. Thought that this was going to be the end of things, and that all you needed to do was Photoshop a politician strangling a dog, and that would be the end of their career. But right. It turns out that we, as humans, kind of evolve to know that stuff isn't real. That's sort of the uncanny valley thing. The we can tell that this isn't real. When you get to the point where you can't, right? I've often referenced that as the reality war, whatever. That's when philosophy comes into play a little bit more. And it's like, I know this sounds dumb, but okay. I have seen a photograph of this person strangling a dog. I don't know that this photograph is depicting a real event. And I also don't know what events have happened in this person's life that have not been photographed that I would find objectionable, right? Like, for every photograph you have of a politician doing something bad, there's another time when they intentionally made fun of someone so that they cry or whatever. You know, I'm not saying that that's exactly, but they've done something bad that you don't know about.
Yeah.
You know, so does the knowing about it all of a sudden change things? Or, you know, are we going to get into this position where all of a sudden we allow, and I mean, I'd say the last president that we had before this one, even this one, there's stuff that we know that they did that we're still like, I don't like it.
Frustratingly so, yeah.
But they're still in it, yeah. So, oh, hey, speaking about me being hungry, I don't know if you heard, my stomach kind of did a thing.
I did not hear that.
I am back on the Boaz Frankel diet, Ben.
And tell me, what is the Boaz Frankel diet?
Do you remember the Boaz Frankel diet at all?
No, that's why I asked about it.
Okay,
I remember Boaz.
You remember Boaz? Boaz, friend of the show.
I'm actually Facebook friends with Boaz.
Famously, you know, an energetic guy, pep in his step, also, you know, pretty healthy and all that. And so one day I said to him, "Okay, look, I've been on all these diets." None of them, you know, they work for a while and then I fall back, whatever. What do you eat in a day? Like, you don't really pay attention, right? He's like, well, I could have made a Ben Lawrence diet as well. Okay. This is the Boaz Frankel diet. Now, Ben.
Tell me what the Boaz Frankel diet is, yeah.
Okay. So breakfast between 6:30 and 7 a.m. Do you eat breakfast at all?
Not typically.
Okay, so Boaz, this is great. This is going to be good. I'm doing you. I'm adding you, and I'm comparing. Boaz eats breakfast between 6:30 and 7 a.m. Has one of the following: a spoonful of peanut butter with toast, zucchini bread, bowl of oatmeal, scrambled eggs with toast, and then I've added for myself protein Pop-Tart, which is, there are these new protein Pop-Tarts that are really good. Not by Pop-Tarts, they're a different brand. Or Magic right. Spoon cereal with almond milk. Because they all kind of do the same thing. So Ben, breakfast. So no breakfast at all?
Coffee. That's the only... And we're talking on a typical day. Of course, I do eat breakfast sometimes. Right?
Breakfast, coffee. How much coffee?
I don't know. I generally can put away like 3 to 5 cups.
No. For breakfast.
Yeah, I mean, I just drink coffee all morning.
Wow,
but it's
3 to 5. Okay. All right.
Like
all right.
Coffee
all
mugs, right. not pots.
Three
cups,
to five.
Right?
No. Still, that was what I was surprised about. But all right, 3 to 5 mugs. Do you take it black? Do you do anything with it?
Black.
Wow.
I do not put anything in it.
Okay. Okay. So then Boaz, first snack, anytime between breakfast and lunch. Do you have any snacks at all?
No.
Okay, Boaz. Snack anytime between breakfast and lunch. Usually a piece of fruit or tea. Ben, no snacks. This is really interesting. I don't know why I didn't think about this before.
My eating is generally also like not very structured. Like,
no snacks ever, or sometimes?
No, I'll snack. I snack all the time, but it's never like I think, oh, it's 9 a.m. I have to snack now.
Oh, wait. Okay, so various snacks.
But generally not in the morning. I'm usually not really hungry
in the morning. No morning snack. This is great. I know this may not be interested to anyone else, but I find this fascinating. No morning snack.
What are you writing this in? Is this like a diet app?
No, this is just Notepad. Okay, so lunch. Boaz. Between 11 a.m. and noon. No earlier than 11:30. One of the following. Peanut butter bagel. I have Vital Wheat gluten cake here. That's my own. I'm taking that off because I don't make that anymore. Grilled cheese, magic spoon with almond milk, or a protein Pop-Tart. That's, again, my stuff. What about you, Ben? When is lunch for you?
I generally lunch between noon and 1.
Ben. Lunch. Between noon and 1. Noon and 1. Okay, and what do you normally have for lunch?
Normally, I'd say I would have an apple, 2 pieces of snack cheese.
Is this all like not either or? This is everything?
Correct. This is my typical Ben lunch.
Okay, gotcha.
An apple, 2 pieces of snack cheese, 2 hard cooked eggs. And let's say a pint of blueberries, but there's also like, if berries are on sale, I'll get like a pint of berries.
So I'll just put all of the following,
Now here's,
go ahead. Sorry.
I don't know if you want to get this granular with it, but sometimes I don't eat it all at once. I will space it out over the course of like the next hour. So, like, I'll eat the eggs and the apple, like, right at lunchtime. And then, like, the cheese, like, an hour later. And then, like, the berries, like, at 3. So, you guess you could say the berries are like, an afternoon snack.
All the following... I'll just put lunch slash snack.
Yeah.
But sometimes you'll eat it all at once.
Sometimes, if I'm hungry. Basically eat until I'm not hungry anymore.
3 p.m.
At Andeva.
Okay, an apple, 2 pieces of sack cheese. 2 hard-cooked eggs. Or 2 eggs.
Yeah. Yeah.
2 eggs.
They have blueberries. Like the QFC has these like 2 hard-boiled eggs in like a package. I usually pick one of those up.
Oh, gotcha. Blueberries. 1 pint?
Yeah, I think that's the container size. Yeah. The smaller one.
1 pint? Okay, so I'll just say between noon and 3 p.m. Based on hunger.
Yeah.
Okay. So Boaz has a second snack anytime between lunch and dinner, usually a piece of fruit or veggie, and he has an optional cookie 2 times a week.
See, that is more structured than I could ever be.
Yeah. And then when do you eat do you have a snack after 3 before dinner?
I generally don't. I like if it's
okay.
I mean, if it's like after, like it's if it's after like 5 o'clock, I don't eat anymore because I'm like, I'm gonna spoil my dinner, so I try not to snack.
Okay, so we'll say Ben, no snacks after 5 p.m.
Yeah.
And if you did have a snack, would it be part of the stuff that you had before, or would it be something new?
It might be something new. I might, if I, like, had some chips or something.
Snack. Then maybe chips.
Maybe.
Chips, if hungry.
If hungry.
If hungry. Before 7. Or before dinner snack. Or before 5 p.m. snack.
Right. Like, still at work snack.
Yeah. Okay, and then dinner for Boaz is between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. What about you?
Between 7 and 8.
Okay, so we'll do Boaz dinner first. See, what I'm going to do is I'm going to eat as much of both of you put together. No, I'm just using, I'm using you both as guidelines because you're both, you know, you have different styles.
Yeah.
So Boaz's dinner between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m., one of the following: veggie burger patty, 2 egg omelet, veggie stir fry, or a piece of fish. And then, let's see, Ben, dinner. I'm not going to tell Boaz about this. He might get jealous. Okay. But between, again, I can't believe it's taken me this long to write this down. Between 7
After
and 8.
20 years.
I know, right? Well, and also after writing Boaz is down.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the insult to the injury there. Okay, 7:30 to 8. Or between 7 and 8. Okay, and what do you normally eat for dinner?
Oh, God. One of the following.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, okay. One of the following. Here we go.
Because there's nothing I normally eat for dinner.
I just wrote Donner, which is completely different.
That's familiar a different with type the, of meal. Yes.
One of the following. Jim.
Terry. Bob. beef stir fry.
Oh.
I, too, have a piece of fish with generally a vegetable and rice.
So beef stir fry. Stir fry. Fry. Piece of fish with rice and vegetable?
Yeah, generally broccoli.
Oh, perfect. Let's see here. Beef.
Compelling content.
Hey, if I were watching this, if I were our viewers, this would be fascinating. So piece of fish with vegetable.
And rice.
With vegetable, broccoli.
Yeah.
Andy, friend of the podcast, allergic to broccoli.
Allergic to broccoli? Wow.
Yeah, too
How
bad,
does it affect
huh?
him?
I don't know. I should probably ask. Okay, piece of fish with vegetable, broccoli, and rice. Okay, what else?
Piece of grilled chicken with rice. And peas.
Oh. Chicken with frozen peas?
Yeah. Well, I cook them.
Touché. And are the okay, piece of chicken with grilled chicken with rice and peas. Okay. Anything else?
What else is my standard meal? Those are the three like mainstays.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's all we need. That.
Okay. I generally have my staples: rice, broccoli. Yeah, that's kind of it.
Okay, third snack. Do you have one? A snack after
like
dinner?
Dessert.
Oh. Do you have dessert?
Yeah, if sometimes.
Oh, all right.
I like there ice cream.
Dessert. And what time do you normally have dessert? Right after your dinner?
No, it's generally like an hour later when I'm hungry again.
So probably like around 8 p.m. or 8 or 9?
8 or 9, yeah, something like that.
So we'll just say Ben. So let's see, Boaz. Boaz will have a Tofutti Cutie. Let's see here.
So it sounds like Boaz is a pescatarian.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's see, Ben. So one of the following: ice cream.
Ice cream.
Like a bowl candy. Of ice cream?
Well, not a bowl. Like if I buy the little pints and
yeah.
Generally just like a few spoonfuls.
One of the following: spoonful of like a Ben and Jerry's kind of.
Yeah, something like that. I'm more plain than that, but yeah. Generally don't go for the Ben and Jerry's flavors.
Oh, gotcha. But spoonful of ice cream. A couple of spoonfuls of
loving spoonfuls.
I put spoon gulls. It's a living. stupid.
It's a living. What was that noise?
Oh, that's my.
Did you get a text?
Yeah, text. I've turned on text alerts. Because Jennifer got mad at me because I never pick up when she texts me. I
understand the pain.
Yeah, I can't imagine why it took that long, Ben. I apologize ahead of time. A couple of spoonfuls of ice cream or candy. What type of candy?
Sour Patch Kids.
Like how much of a box?
I don't know. No, not a box. Well, I don't know. Like,
so do you buy them in the bag?
The tiny bag, like you get at the movie theater.
Yeah. Do you eat the whole tiny bag, or do you eat?
Yeah.
But
this
tiny
is not
bag?
An everyday thing.
No. Bag of Sour Patch Kids. Sour.
Suddenly feeling self-conscious about my candy habit.
Patch Kids. How many times would you say a week?
Once. It's not very often.
Once a week. It's
or
like
popcorn.
An occasional cookie two times a week.
Occasional cookie 2 times a week.
And popcorn sometimes?
Popcorn
regular,
is probably my
regular
favorite.
Popcorn?
Yeah, regular popcorn.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That gives me something. All right. So eating out, Ben. Phrasing. what do you get normally when you go to a restaurant? Do you get whatever you want? Do you have...
Yeah. Whatever looks good. I generally don't restrict myself to one thing or another.
Ben, anything.
Anything. And if you're paying the most expensive thing on the menu...
This just says, bankrupt Paul. Why is that on the menu?
What does Boaz get at restaurants?
Oh, that's a good... salmon or pasta?
Okay, yeah.
I also put that I would get maybe a grilled cheese. And I'm guessing that you're the same when you go to someone's house for dinner. You will eat what they serve.
Exactly.
Not that Boaz wouldn't, necessarily, but sometimes... Boaz runs in circles where people, you'll ask you sometimes, hey, is there anything that I can have? I put here, this says Paul's exception, kosher meat. Oh yeah. So someone's house, Boaz, let them know you don't eat meat, but fish. And I put down, Paul, kosher meat is okay. I'm just going to take that sentence out because...
That's a time in your life that has passed.
I will eat... and we're just going to put Paul and Ben, all bets are off. Ben, I'll just put Ben, all bets are off. All Bens are off.
All Bens are off. Turn them off, turn them back on.
Appreciated, but all bets
off. Off.
Matt, that was so good. Still one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels for anybody who's wondering what we're talking about. That was Snatch. Yeah.
Exactly.
Sometimes I get those mixed up.
Hey, I wonder why.
Yeah.
Very similar. All bets are off. Okay. There we go. Thanks. So now, between the Ben and the Boaz guidelines, I should be well on my way.
To doing what?
Not weighing 210 pounds.
210 pounds.
Yeah, I probably weigh a little bit more than that. That's just when I stopped paying attention.
Right.
Where I was like, ugh, I don't want to read this anymore. And because here's one of the things, Ben. One of the fun things you can do with the AI is take a picture. And
of yourself?
Of yourself and upload it. And it will use, you know, it'll use its algorithm to go, what is this that I'm looking at here? For me, overweight bearded men kept showing up. And I'm like, well, shoot.
Big Brother doesn't have to watch us. We are uploading pictures of ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
To the AI.
Speaking about uploading pictures of ourselves to the AI, Ben, are we having any more interactions? Nobody ever came? Did anyone ever watch?
YouTube says we have somebody watching now, and we've had three views so far. So.
Oh, wow. A banner day here for the Goody Learns podcast. And if you happen to be Scott, hi, Scott. But I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, Scott's your friend.
Scott's my friend.
Drunk is not with us, and Steven is not here either. But it is an odd time. It's Saturday.
It is an odd time. People are doing stuff. Exactly.
I'm here at the theater doing work.
Yeah, why would anyone not do this? So, and Ben, we have our answer. The Ethernet cable into the iPad seems to have worked out really good.
Seems to work.
So it's nice that we're doing our R&D when there aren't that many users. That's a very standard way to work it.
Yes. But still during production, so it just...
Yeah.
We haven't tested it yet. This is the test.
We've got about 4 minutes left, Ben. Do we want to talk about Goody Lawrence thing in the past, or is it not enough time?
Sure, let's do it. No, I think it's plenty.
I'm already anticipating your question. I do not remember what we talked about last time.
Paul, I'm going to ask you the same question I ask you every... Oh, you already answered me.
Okay. Did it.
Let's see. I don't remember. Did we talk about... let's see. Midnight Road Trip to Tacoma with Paul
and
Ben.
Yeah, that was the last one. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no. Virtual Bruce, that was the last one we talked about.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right. That's right.
The next thing that we did was August 5th, 2005.
Wow. Hard to believe. 17 years ago.
It was called The Debate Show. And it's you and me debating the space program. Do you remember this at all?
I believe, Ben, I made frequent reference to Whitey on the Moon by Gil Scott Heron.
Yes, that is exactly what happened. Somebody played our moderator. I don't know who. Maybe Joseph or Pamela. And it's... I talked about... the space program, and I'm quickly at the, I have the script online, and so I'm discussing the merits of funding it, and you are just reciting lyrics to a song.
So there we go. Still relevant, end? I think.
Yeah.
Whitey on the Moon.
It ends with me breaking down and yelling. Wow.
you had some rage every once in a while, Ben, that we tried to tap into.
Damn it!
Yeah, exactly.
I was listening to a interview with Bob Odenkirk, and he was talking about... I can't remember exactly what he was talking about, but it was either Better Call Saul or Nobody. And he says that he would often... have these moments of rage on Mr. Show that people like he was kind of known for that, like on the show where he would yell, yeah. God damn it. And he alluded to the fact that he wasn't necessarily acting, that he actually was that angry. And that's how he expressed it.
So interestingly, I didn't think about this until now, but you and I, bonded. One of the things, Soul Coughing, we both like the band Soul Coughing. We both like Mr. Show a lot. And I never talked to you about this, but I just realized that Goody Lawrence, right, we're both Bob Odenkirk. Neither of us are the David Cross. And I was thinking about this. I think Troy Lund is our David Cross. Like the sort of cooler one.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
I'm imagining. Yeah, the things that Troy's done for us, like the American Doctor Who video, the playing the drums during Dinner in Hell.
Yeah. But because both of us, I resonate with Bob Odenkirk more than I guess the thing is that that. David Cross seems more self-assured, I think. And we both have, like, this vulnerability side. But also anger. A lot of...
but also on stage anger. I would like to clarify this.
Oh, well, not so angry much. People. I'm just an angry guy in general.
I have adopted that though. If I'm super upset, I will yell like Bob Odenkirk. Generally, if nobody's around, I only
here's the thing,
I'm
Ben, and they talk about this sometimes that the mask becomes the face. You yelling that is a Ben Lawrence thing to me. Like, I don't even think about it anymore. That may have been its origins, but you've got your own special.
I've made it my own.
Yep. Hey, and speaking of making it our own, we did it again with this podcast.
Hey, we spoke for an hour.
Yep, and we are now ready to set it off into the ether at some point in time. Probably on Monday, people will be able to listen to it. Hey, what are our listening numbers out at, Ben? What's our...
Do you want to know? I can look that up.
Yeah. Let's find out. Hey, maybe my friend Scott actually doesn't watch the live stream. Maybe he listens to the podcast. I didn't think about that. Let me see.
Because, there are multiple ways to consume
what he says
this media.
Exactly.
I got a... this is, again, riveting content here.
Yep, looking up what Scott says.
Oh, I got to change that password.
Listen to your latest podcast today. Oh, wait, and that was on a Monday. So there we go. That's the answer.
When they're released. So I'm looking at the uploads of the show once the page loads. And let's make this easier to read. It looks like we get between... Wow, this is surprising, actually. We get between, 30 and 45 of downloads every
How
week.
Is that that is not possible.
Bots. It's just bots.
It's got to be
no
bots.
No people
it
are listening
to
this. It's just bots.
If you are... one sec. If you are a person listening to this or a bot listening to this, either way, thank you very much for listening. We talk a lot about how this is meant to have no listeners, and it's true. But since you're here, we're happy that you are.
Sometimes we tell people we're doing the show.
he winked. You didn't see it.
He winked. You can't see
audio
that on
medium,
the podcast.
Yeah. All right, Ben. All right. Thanks. I'll see you again. And until next week, keep it wrong, my friend.
Keep it wrong, Paul. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Room tone.
And we're clear.